Hey guys, Todd Eastman here. Just thought I'd come on before the show starts and let you know, we recorded this on Tuesday night, and of course Wednesday morning, Dwayne Wade decides he's going to end up in Cleveland. So you actually get to hear us make our predictions of where Dwayne ends up, and you'll see how wrong some of us are. So just thought I'd get on here and let you know how that works. Usually when we record one of these shows, invariably the day after we record it, a big story breaks and happened again. So, enjoy the show.
Now he was a true MVP. Over me? Twice? Get out of here.
Practice? Not the game. You talking about practice?
Jonas Valanciunas.
Welcome everybody to the Big Ballers Podcast. We are back for season 2017-2018. I reckon we can call it that by now, couldn't we, boys?
Yeah,
well, that's what the season's called.
I was going to say, I think that's what it's called.
This will be the first one for this.
I don't know what else you can call it.
This will be the first one for this season, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Without being pedantic.
Oh, for us, yeah.
First and second last one for the season. Mello, how are you, mate? Are you good?
Oh, yeah, I'm up and about this week. It's good.
The lid is off for young Mello in the old AFL. And the happiest man in terms of NBA at the moment, LJ, you'd have to be quite up there, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm not upset. Don't want to get ahead of myself.
Always the optimist, LJ.
Opposition fans are just getting ready to celebrate coming second before an AFL grand final and give yourself bad karma. So I'm just keeping the lid on things at the moment till I get to watch them play a game.
Yeah, that is the key.
We'll keep the AFL out of this podcast. That's a different podcast on its own.
All right. Of course, we are talking about Carmelo out of nowhere. OKC swoops in and steals him, mate. So, and they pretty much got him for fuck all, really, when you look at it, didn't they? Considering they had other deals sort of on the table, but, yeah. You're happy to give up Cantor and that for him? Well, McDermott, of course, but Cantor for him?
Basketball-wise, you are, but, definitely over probably the last couple of seasons, I've grown a bit more attached to him. Seemed like a genuinely pretty good dude. He's been through, I guess, some tough things, and, he's always been pretty loyal to Oklahoma, and not that he's had a chance to leave, but in the way that he sort of carries himself and things he did in their community and stuff over there. So it was sad to see him go in that sense, but from a basketball point of view, I mean, you can't not do it, especially when you're trying to keep guys around. And even if they don't win a championship or something this season, if making moves like this leads to Russ staying, then I mean it's a win, you know.
Yeah, well, how long
is that the bigger? Is that the is that OKC's bigger picture? Do you think? Like, obviously, with the hype around the Warriors, and everyone's sort of saying that they've sort of got it locked for a little while. Do you think that OKC's bigger picture is sort of, look, let's get pieces around Russ, let's keep him here, and let's sort of build towards the future?
Well, I think once they got PG, that I guess to a certain extent turns your head to win now mode. Because although, I'm realistic with things, I'm super excited about this season for Oklahoma, but it still doesn't, put him ahead of Warriors by any means. It probably,
puts him in the hunt, though.
Puts him in a spot. It puts him in a spot where they could take a couple games off and maybe in a series if all went well and stuff. But what it does do is it pushes him to that second spot, which is something at least. Making a conference finals, there's only four teams in the league that can do it. And if you've got guys like Russ and PG who are competitive, then, getting him into that conference finals and giving him a sniff might be enough to keep him around. But
what would you say if they snagged? What would you say if they snagged Wade, though? Would they be in the contest then?
Oh, I mean, look, if they end up with D-Wade, you look at the team that they've got.
You're like, the lid's off.
As an organization, you can't really say. Yeah. But you can't really say as an organization that they could do it. There's nothing more they could do than that. So they're giving them the best shot, which and so are teams like Houston, and there are teams sort of, you know, making these plays that is good to see, because it's pretty easy to say, well, fuck it, Golden State's got it. What's the point of worrying about it? But X is an injury and you're there, you know? So if you put together the best team that you can, it's an advantage. But I think the biggest advantage really from Oklahoma is that in picking up Carmelo is that probably their biggest rival Spurs are there as well, I guess. And Timberwolves, it's probably a bit too early to see. But not only did we get him, but Houston didn't get him. So that's, you know, a double whammy there, I guess, in that it gives us the advantage over Houston, who they knocked us out last year. And, you know, we're probably around about the same spot looking to be the other team in the Western Conference Finals. So, no, I'm excited. If nothing else, I get one pretty entertaining year, so.
And also as well, I think the key part of that is that they managed to keep Cole Singler as well. So,
yeah, of course, that's always important. Yeah, no, that was fantastic. Like, yeah, they could not possibly get rid of him. But, yeah, I mean, the way that Cantor found out about the trade as well, I thought was pretty good. He was doing a basketball clinic for orphans in Oklahoma. He was midway through it, and his agent told him not to look too happy either, because it would look bad. And, but yeah, so he was in the middle of the clinic, and he finished up the clinic. And so, yeah,
he sent
to all the kids, all right, on three. And then he said, Nick's on three, and they all started booing and stuff. So it was pretty funny.
Wasn't he on like Facebook Live when it happened as well?
Yeah. Yep.
That's what, Jesus.
And he just sort of played it off and didn't pay any notice to it. But I mean, yeah, like that. I think Bill Simmons started it at the start of the season when he kind of said that the two, like Melo and Oklahoma, had been circling each other. He sort of dropped that. My mate Chiggy's been messaging me every week, like, this week we're going to get Melo. But yeah, I just think it was Houston, they weren't going to get the deal done with Houston. They sort of knew that was Melo's preference. And then when that didn't seem like the case, he added Cleveland and Oklahoma to the mix, and then they couldn't get a deal done with Cleveland either. So I think it sort of came down to take what Oklahoma's got, or we're going into training camp not knowing what we're doing. But I don't hate the idea of Cantor and Porzingis with some, you know, players around them.
Well, like, going into that, like, just talking about that with the whole the Houston deal, would you taken Cantor over Ryan Anderson, which I think was the offer?
I mean, it depends, man. Like, Cantor is very limited defensively, but he's a great offensive player. Like, he might be the best offensive rebounder in the game, and he's got good touch around the basketball. I just think his defense is at the point where it's not going to improve enough to be NBA level defense. So, but at the same token, you know, Ryan Anderson is just a 3-point shooter, and Cantor's still pretty young, and his deal's not horrible. So, yeah, I mean, Dougie McBuckets as well. He's there's a lot of upside to him. So, I think they're just, yeah, totally, now they want the younger pieces rather than the older pieces, and see how it goes.
Hmm. I suppose
European flavor over there now, though.
Yeah, I suppose for us as well, you know, as Adelaide people as well, and sort of having a bit of a connection with Terrence Ferguson. I mean, that dude couldn't ask for three better mentors, you know, in his first year as an NBA player, could he?
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, that's going to be mental. And just like the whole, I mean, it's going to be, they're another super team now, you know. Whether it works on the court or not, they're three of the, you know, top 10 to 15, like, marketable guys in the league. So, you know, they're going to be on everyone's sort of league pass, other team to watch type thing. And it's going to expose him to a lot of stuff as well. And, you know, if he can get some minutes, I still think they're at least one move away from doing anything, because the only big they got off the bench now is, they got Jeremy Grant, I guess, and Patterson. So they've signed Kanan to like Cannon. a non-guaranteed deal, and so that deal's there with no risk. And I don't know if that's, you know, maybe move Felton and a piece for another player, which the other piece may be a Brinez, which brings 2K into the lineup more. who's there. But I think they've still got to make another deal. They need another big. But, I mean, yeah, the starting lineup of, you know, Russ Rowe, PG, Mello, and Adams is going to be, you know, pretty daunting, I would think. It's just there's not much after that.
Yeah, but I suppose with Adams, though, like the dude's only 20, he's only 24 years old. So, like, even if they can get a center that's serviceable, you know, he doesn't have to come on and light the world on fire. He just has to come in and just and hold his spot. Like, and give him a rest. They... And you can also, as well, you can push Mello and PG to that four spot as well, and, you know, sure, and push and stretch that out as well. So it's not really as shallow as it seems.
It's not, but the only thing, although, you know, the league's getting into small ball and stuff, you can't really have Patterson with that many minutes at the center. You can't really put Grant at the center. You're probably not going to put Mello at the center or PD. So they need just one guy to give him, you know, 10, 12, 15 minutes in that center position. And all he's going to have to do is grab a rebound and you know, try and attempt to block a shot. It's not going to be too much. But as far as the offense, man, if you got Russ bringing the ball up and you got, you know, Mello standing in one corner and PG standing in the other corner, it's going to be pretty hard for teams to defend all of that. Not by any means the same thing, but you see the same thing with Golden State where they just overwhelm teams. I think probably most teams other than the elite teams, that if all goes well, they're just going to overwhelm them on offense. Mm.
So the big question are they going to let Carmelo wear the hoodie?
I fucking hope so.
He did today at media day.
Yeah, he did at media day.
Yeah. I hope so. But he looks happy. You know, he got a good reception and PG is saying the right thing. So, I mean, yeah, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but put it this as a fan, like, I don't think that the team could have done much more than they've done. Like, to go from losing MVP to probably at the time your biggest rival to ending up with what they got, you know, just over a year later. Yeah, it's pretty solid for, you know, what they've turned into a big, what they had to turn it into a big three and a, you know, a genuine contender to be in conference finals. Yeah, pretty happy.
I tell you what, too, if you're a Laker fan, you and you are really counting on PG coming the next season, you'd be rethinking that now, wouldn't you? Because really, that's a hell of a
look.
He's got a hell of a temptation to stick around now, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, you never know. And, like, he's got one more year on his deal anyway, so even if he just picked up the option and then, you know, checks out what happens after that, who knows? But, the guys are obviously going to say the right things in the press conferences and stuff, but at the media day, he basically did say when he was in Pacers, like when he was with the Pacers, he didn't really feel like he had a chance at winning, so of course he'd want to go to the Lakers. But if you're in a situation where you think you're going to win, well then, you know, maybe the allure of going home isn't quite as big. So, yeah, we just got to wait and see.
And another key to this piece, of course, we talked about a little bit. Dwayne Wade got bought out by the Chicago Bulls. He's been placed on waivers now. So does that mean, because I'm pretty dumb when it comes to this shit. Does that mean any team can pick him up, but he just won't re-sign the next season? Or what's the...
Well, he's a free agent. So any team can pick him up, but... Sorry, mate, what?
I thought he got placed on waivers.
Yeah, so he's a free agent now. So another team can pick... If another team picks him up off waivers...
Yeah.
I think whatever they pay him comes off what Chicago pays him.
Ah, okay.
So if someone gave him a $10 million... I think... I don't know. There's something... I'm sure there's people out there that know more than us, but basically, he's a free agent. He can go to whatever team he wants. So he's a free agent now.
Yeah, here, hang on, I'm just reading it now. He now has 2 days to clear waivers and then be free to sign the team of his choosing. So another team can actually pick him up from waivers, but I guess he's just going, well, I'm not going to re-sign with you, so you can do what you want. So I'm guessing not really worth any team picking him up. Do you know what I mean? Because they would have to probably pay, like you said.
Oh, but would they have to pick up his full contract, though?
It didn't say. I think that's how it works. I'm guessing that's how it works, yeah. There's rumors
that he...
If we're wrong, someone correct us.
Yeah. There's rumors that he gave up $8 million of the 23 or 24 he was owed.
Yeah, because they've got to come back. They've got to come to a buyout agreement that both teams agree, pay me this money and I'll walk, basically. But the funny thing about it is that it's not far off the difference between what Miami were offering and what he ended up taking from the Bulls.
Yeah.
So after all, you know, he was going to be Heat for life, and he left over, I think, $10 million, and he ends up getting bought out for $8 million. So I don't know if he's going to look back on that and regret it. But, yeah, I mean, I'll let you guys – before I go on, I'll let you guys give your opinion on where you think he's going to end up.
Yes.
I've been talking enough.
Well, that's the idea of a podcast, man.
Yeah, this one's about you, though. This last year was all about the fucking the Warriors.
This is going to be the first time this week. It's the first time this week I'm going to pass the ball. Maybe the only week, only time. So, you know, take it while you can, boys.
Well, Wade's got, who's he got coming up, they reckon? It's Miami, San Antonio, Cleveland, and OKC. So, which one do you reckon, Mella? We'll go with you. Which one do you reckon he'll be more than likely to sign? I know everyone's saying Cleveland, but does he really want to, I don't know, go back in there and be that again? Or what's the deal, you reckon?
I don't know, man. Like, part of me sort of thinks he might, I don't know, maybe he'll mend those bridges and go back to Miami. You know, a lot of players sort of, we've seen it with Paul Pierce and Amari and whatnot. You know, they want to finish off that career back where they all started it. So maybe for Wade, you know, he's got the rings. He's, you know, he went back to Chicago. That didn't quite work out. Maybe he decides, look, man, I'm going to go back to Miami, play with some of the younger boys and, you know, finish his career that way. But, you know, outside of that, the Cleveland is probably the common bet, I guess, but you know, if he was going to do that, it'd probably only be the 1 year deal, which I don't know what the talks are at the moment. But I don't know, for me, I'm sort of going to stick with Miami. I reckon he'll head back there.
Yeah, see, I just don't know. I would be so tempted to try OKC if I was Dwayne Wade, just for the fact that you've got the four guys there. You know what I mean? If you're in Cleveland, you've pretty much got what you got: LeBron, K-Love, and really a Rose. You don't know what's going to get from him. Whereas with
I think with the options that he's got, I mean, I'd see it hard. I don't know. Like, he left obviously on reasonably bad terms with Pat Riley when he left Miami, and with those other guys that, you know, sort of want to finish their career up where they were away for a little bit longer. Like, Amare had, you know, 3 or 4 or however many years he had, at least 4 over in New York. And, you know, Paul Pierce went away for at least, again, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And then came back. So that's a lot of time gone. But I don't know. Like, obviously, we don't have any inside information. But I think that from what I've read, he wants to start. And I don't think for Oklahoma, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think that adding him to the starting lineup over Roberson adds to that starting lineup, because they've got enough scorers there. Roberson with that lockdown defense, and he's not going to even be asked to score. So he's going to have that pressure on him just to focus on defense. I don't think that's something he could pass up out of the starting lineup. If Oklahoma could get him as like a Manu Ginobili type six man, I think that would, yeah, you know, not put him over the edge, but that would definitely bring him a lot closer to where they are now, having him in your second unit and, you know, playing pretty big minutes. So still playing with those guys quite a bit. But I think D-Wade at 35, if it's about winning, I don't know that you want to be in the West. The West is super tough this year, like super tough. You join Cleveland, you probably got a reasonably clear path to the finals, at least the conference finals, without, you know, putting too much wear and tear on your body. But, yeah, again, it just depends what he wants to do. He's probably going to start if he goes to Cleveland as well, which, you know, that's, he's indicated that's something he's interested in. But, again, you know, he's already done the thing. Does he want to do that again? He's never played in the West. Does he want to do that? Does he want to still be an All-Star? If so, go to the East. Like, there's a lot there, and I have no idea what he's going to do.
After all that? Yeah.
But then at the same time, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, I want to see what it's like playing with Pop for a year, and I'm going to go there and see what happens, because, you know, Pop playing in
me.
Pop's system, he could probably extend his, he could probably get 4 years out of him.
Yeah, Pop will rest, you know? So good.
Yeah, like, it's, I don't know, he's got some pretty, put it this way, he's got some pretty good options, and I think he's still got a lot to add to a team in the right role. So, yeah, I think he's going to be a good get. And I think that he's going to go to one of the top teams, and it's just going to make the top teams even better to watch. And the NBA is going to be crazy this year.
Hmm. All right, we'll move on to, an Aussie story, I guess. Bogut signing with the Lakers. What do we think about this, boys? Miller?
That came from nowhere, didn't it?
Well, we've got to move away from him eventually. You spend 20 minutes talking about those.
Oh, no, I'm talking about like Bogut signing with the Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
Signing
there,
I don't know. I don't even know if there was mention of the Lakers. There's a lot of talk about Boston. Obviously, they've already got Aaron Baines over there. But, yeah, I mean, maybe for Bogut, it's more of a lifestyle sort of choice. Head to L.A., live in the bright lights of L.A., have a bit of fun with the likes of Lonzo and the young guys that are coming through there. But it should be interesting. I mean, they've got obviously picked up Brook Lopez as well. And what's the young big man coming through for the Lakers now, Todd?
Zubac.
The one. So, I'd be interesting to see how they do that. Maybe they may spread the minutes evenly between the three. I don't know. But, I think he's doing it for decisions for himself and just enjoy the lifestyle over in Hollywood probably.
Yeah. I reckon that possibly the only thing that makes sense to me, but if they are looking at retooling next year, adding Bogut makes a bit more sense in that, say they do get PG and LeBron or something like that, they've got that defensive anchor in the center that's been there before, that's won a championship, that, is a veteran that understands he's going to get along well with those other veteran players. He's on a cheap, cheap contract. I think that it could be looking to the future more with Bogut than necessarily for this year because, you got Randall there, you got that Zubac guy coming through, you got Lopez. So he's probably going to play minimally if everyone's healthy. I don't think he's going to – he might probably won't even play some nights because I don't think he plays in front of any of those guys. But if they do move Lopez, move, Randall, if they decide to go into that win now mode, they're probably going to have to – move some of those guys.
Well, Lopez has only got 1 year left, yeah.
That's right. But if if you have a look, they're not gonna trade Lonzo. He's there. And he's part of the reason that if they're gonna bring in any big name free agents, they're gonna go there to play with him because, all the personality stuff with his dad or whatever, but as far as a point guard goes and being a star, he's the kind of guy that you want to play with. He's gonna get you the ball and he's going to make your life a bit easier from what we've seen so far. So if they do need to, bring in these stars, guys like Julius Randle are probably going to be the guys that go because they've got some, they've got some value to them as part of a trade. So if they have to move those guys on, then having Bogut there in that case is probably not a bad thing. And again, someone that's done it, someone that's won a championship, that helps.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not really a gamble in terms of his contract wise, but is it worth playing that far ahead with someone like Bogut? Just given, the last few years he sort of has been a little bit sort of troubled with, just his body. We all know his body isn't what it used to be. It is slowly breaking down. Let's be honest. So,
not that slow, mate. 30 seconds.
Is it worth them, planning that far ahead with the likes of Bogut?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know, but I don't think it makes that much sense for him to be a short term. That's what I mean. Like, again, we don't have any inside knowledge on anything, but I can see that making sense if you're going to switch what you're doing to becoming a veteran type team. He's the kind of guy that you want to have around.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's just going to be a young team and you're in rebuild mode, it doesn't make that much sense, really.
Yeah. It's also good to have him around for a season with Zubac anyway.
Yeah.
Give the guy a little bit of a...
He'll be a brilliant mentor at worst.
So, yeah. All right, we'll move on to something that's probably caused us to not talk to our wives and our girlfriends for the last week or so. 2K18. I know you boys have all got it. What do we think compared to the last years?
I mean, it's still a good game, but for me, it's a bit of the same. A really good game, a few little shitty things let it down, but I'll still play the shit out of it. So,
I mean, there's a couple of things. I mean, we're already up to, outside the initial install, we're already up to update number 3. And the cutscenes are the only things that go longer than our podcasts.
Yeah. But you get through those, like, once you get into the My Career, because the thing I like with My Career is you can finish the game, you're in the locker room, and you can go straight to the next game. You don't have to go back out to the loading screen. You don't have to do any of that. So, but yeah, it's, they're trying to do something different, and maybe to the younger kids, you know, that's what happens. But with the updates, I mean, I don't know if you play, I know you're not like a huge gamer, Miller, but that's pretty standard these days. Like, there's updates every time you turn a game on. The only problem is with PS4, though, they don't, so the update that they, that 2K do might be a couple hundred meg, but 2K, PlayStation make you add it all on to the previous one, so you're downloading all the updates every time. Okay. Whereas Xbox, I'm pretty sure you can just download that one patch, but that's why they're so big. But yeah, I mean, the other option is they don't, you know, I know you say get it right in the first place, it's a $1 billion thing, but that's never going to happen.
You're never going to get, that's how things work. You get it out in there and then you sort of, you patch it as you go, but, you know, when you, I think that one stage.
Four and a half gig every time.
Yeah, like, but I mean, I guess it's the age we live in now. You know, people are impatient. If you're going to wait for things to be perfect, you're never going to fucking get it, are you? So,
that's true.
That's it. No, but as LJ said, look, it's, the game itself is good. You know, there's a few little things that, you know, that might annoy you, but it's still a good game.
Not to sound like a smug dick, but I've got like a, you know, in my new house, I've got a home cinema. I've got like a 4K projector, 130-inch screen, and it looks incredible. Like, and some of the replays and stuff look amazing.
And LJ is often not home, so if anybody wants his address, we'll go half in the cashies pay.
Hey, I'm always good to hang out. Just, you know.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm getting at.
And he just wants a TV. Hey.
Yeah, as I said, I'll go half in the whatever cashies give you.
Mate, I live in Morford Vale and I've still got it, so I'm already ahead of schedule. So if it does happen to go, I'm good. I got more time out of it than I have any right to.
For those paying attention, we've narrowed it down to an area.
Oh, Jesus. What do you think about, like, I don't mind the fact now that there's no real loading screen if you go to, like, the My Courts. You just sort of run... Yeah. You run around, you walk up, and you're on the My Courts.
Yeah, but that's, I think that really what they've done is smart in a way. There's no loading screens, but you've got to walk there. So, by the,
no, you take
everything's
the subway.
Loading in the background. Yeah, that's what I mean. But while you're taking the subway, everything's loading in the background. Oh, so, your loading screen is just doing something, you know, because it doesn't take up much walking around. So, it can load everything in the back as you're going. So, it's done away with that in a way, which is cool, but I still don't understand, like, the different courts are like the Rivet City and those things. I don't know if that is going to come into play or what it's going to do, but it's cool, man. The whole, like, having to pay to change your hair and stuff now, that's kind of gay. Like, they, that was a hot topic. That's kind of not good. I didn't mean it that way. I voted yes, let me go, but the,
well, that makes it all better.
Now I'm stumped. But yeah, like, you know, having to pay to change your hair and having to walk to Foot Locker to change your shoes, like, that's gimmicky, and I guess it's kind of cool in a way, but you get over it pretty quickly. But yeah, it's all right. And there's obviously a lot of people taking their mum's credit cards, because I got it on the first day, and there were dudes like 90 in my park, so I don't know how they got there that quickly. But
maybe they bought like the super deluxe edition fucking Legends pack that you pay $600,000 for and get an extra 12 VC.
Yeah, I mean, the game's at a point where, like, I don't think you'd want them to mess with the control scheme too much. They're just making the graphics a bit better. Like, I guess in a way you can say that they're getting... they're getting, like, complacent, because Live was a lot better this year, but it's still not... People aren't rushing out to buy it either way. You know, it was still an okay game. But I just don't think there's that much more you can do with it, you know? Like, it's pretty good.
I think it's more the subtle differences. Like, obviously, like you and me, LJ, we had the discussion with Live. There's something about Live that draws me in. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just the little subtle details of the arenas or the movements or what it is, but there's something about Live that I like.
It's the memories of it too.
No, it's not.
I think it's easy. It's so Miller hits shots in that game, so he's like, oh, this game's heaps better.
You don't have to worry about timing.
It's a bit like me hitting shots on Wednesday night, eh? But
I'm gonna give you that one. You're almost. I would if you go a couple more games where you hit some shots. I'll almost say that you've played some all right basketball this season.
I'll take that. That's probably the closest thing I'm ever going to get to a compliment from him. So that's fine.
Yeah, it really is.
I keep waiting for him to just go on like a 0-30, but it hasn't happened yet.
To the point
around it's coming.
Oh shit!
But anyway, yeah, 2K18, it's good.
Yeah, it's good. Get around it. I'm sure if you listen to this, you probably already got it.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are some cool little features. Like I know a lot of people don't play it, but I still play heaps of, like my league because that's what 2K used to be. You took your team, you know, you played. I've always got a season like with mates that come over regularly. We both got a team, you know, trade, key team better, do all that and just play the normal sort of team basketball. And that is a lot better this year. Like the team defense is better. It makes sense. They still defend a pick and roll like a reception basketball team. I don't know what's up with that, but it's a lot better in a lot of the dynamics and the sort of mechanics of that works a lot better. And there's also in the draft now, you used to be able to last year put in all the like historic players, but because there was like six Bulls teams, there were six Michael Jordans and stuff like that. But what they've done now is you can just take the best one of those six and put them into the draft. So yeah, you can go and do a draft now with all the historic players in there and you can come up with some pretty cool teams.
Yes, well we'll move back into NBA proper. And the new Zaza rule, which allows referees to call flagrant or tech fouls on defenders who close out or close on jump shooters without giving them room to land safely. What do we think about this one, boys? Well, you first, Miller, because it's named after your boy.
Well, I don't have a problem with it. But for me, I feel like you're sort of beginning with a bit of a slippery slope. It all depends on how they're going to call it. If you're going to call it, call it. But, I mean, Zaza's not the only guy that's coming under shooters. So, like, if you're going to call it, you got to call it, but you're going to have a lot of guys head into the technical line. So that's all I've pretty much got to say on it.
Yeah, I think I can see him not getting it wrong a lot, but not being 100% sure and probably being a bit trigger happy on it early in the season and probably see that fall away a little bit to the end of the season.
Is it something where you
see less of it? But
is it something where they might call the foul but then refer it to the what's his name center?
The review center, you can. But the problem with doing that is that a lot of those reviews are done in slow motion, and with anything, you put it down into slow mo, and it's going to make it look worse than it is. So, you know, whether they're going to determine it on the impact of a player and whether a player actually goes to ground, because a lot of times where the defender does cut underneath the shooter, but the shooter doesn't go down, which in NBA is pretty rare these days, but. Yeah. I just really hope that they're not going to go the complete opposite way, because the other thing is, as well, at the same time as bringing in the Zaza rule, they've brought in the Harden rule, so they're going to be cracking down on shooters that are going out of their way to create contact with a defender that's closing in. So, you know, the likes of your Hardens and whoever who go out of their way to jump into the defender who's standing upright might be a meter and a half away, they're now going to be sort of cracking down on those guys. So to me, there's a chance that, you know, as much as they're trying to improve the game in those aspects, they could almost work against each other.
Yeah, I think that's the Harden rule is a big one that they had to look at. And I think I'm genuinely happy that they have done it.
Oh, definitely.
Because it was getting out of hand, you know. But with the Zaza rule, I mean, I think just having a rule is going to make the guys, you'd hope, is going to make them a bit more aware of it. Yeah. And hopefully that gets rid of it. But I still, I don't know, man. I don't believe that there's anyone in the NBA that goes out and tries to injure someone. Like, we played someone on Monday night that I don't like at all. And there was a couple of times where you say to yourself, if he goes to the lane, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to foul him. But never in your head you say, if he goes to the lane, I'm going to try and, like, break his leg or make him sprain his ankle. Like, even then, you don't want to hurt him. You just want to rough him up a little bit. So the whole thing of, you know, deliberately going under shooters to try and, you know, make them land on your feet and sprain their ankle, I don't think that's really a thing. I can't see NBA players trying to injure someone.
Well, especially you know? When you have the bigger guys that are closing out and they're not as agile as they are to maybe get to the side or pull up as quickly. Yeah. Like,
but if all it does is, you know, if it does at least make them think, get out, you know, I'm contesting the shot, get out of the way, well, then it's probably done what it's intended to do.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that as well with, you know, being someone that basically all I do is shoot threes because I'm too lazy to do anything else, like the whole, you know, if they do come and land under you, then they've got an advantage closing out on the shot that they haven't really done legally because, you know, they've gained an advantage by doing something that's not good defense. So it's got to be a foul, but I don't know that it needs to be a tech or an unsportsmanlike foul.
Yeah, look, I'm just going to stop you there, LJ. You don't just shoot threes. You always have a floater which manages somehow to leave a crater in the backboard. So I think you're being a little bit unfair to yourself in that aspect, mate.
Yeah. Nah, I probably passed twice a game, maybe so. Yeah, look, I just didn't want to talk myself up too much, you know?
fair.
But nah, thanks for being a good teammate and supporting me there.
All right, well, on that note, we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, kind of talk about season predictions and some questions from, apparently, we have some people listening to the show. So we'll come back with that here on the Big Ballers Podcast.
Fuckhead Miller.
Here's where the action is. You're Australia's favourite wrestlers. Here's where the action is. On Wrestle Radio Australia. Here's where the action is. Whether you're a fan or part of the industry, Wrestle Radio Australia is here for you with four packed shows. WRA with Todd Eastman and Josh Armour. Axe Cast with Josh the Axe Shooter. Healing Out with Muhammad Ali Vaez. And Drawing Heat with Beige and the Dude.
Mr. Juicy Gino Gambino is here with us. Wrestlers love talking about themselves.
Oh, do we ever.
Or hearing about them.
But honestly, when I used to do a podcast back in the day, we used to find the more shit we talked about people, the more listeners we got. Because I'd be like, can you believe they said that about you? And then they'd share it. It was awesome. And then I didn't get booked for 2 years. But that's a different story.
It's all free. Subscribe on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or hear us at WrestleRadioAustralia.com. Wrestle Radio Australia. It's where the action is.
All right, we're back. Miller, what do you want to do first, mate? Do you want to do questions or season predictions? Where do you want to go with this?
Well, ironically, the questions sort of tied into what we've already talked about. One of them from one of our favourite listeners, Kale, usually gives us absolutely nothing but fucking garbage, but apparently he actually had a decent question, which to me is probably a little bit iffy, isn't it, Kale?
It depends if he's down back or not. But anyway,
another story for another day. That's a bit of an inside joke for anyone that's listening. That probably not many people would actually get it. But he just wanted to know where D-Wa was going to go. Obviously touched on that a bit earlier, and then also as well, other listener question was asking about our season predictions, which is what we're about to talk about anyway. So there you go.
Awesome. All right. Well, where should we start? Okay. What team do you think, I'm just throwing this off, in the East and the West is going to be a surprise inclusion into the playoffs? We'll go with you first, LJ.
A surprise inclusion. Well,
like someone who'll have a breakout season we're not ready for.
Yeah, I reckon, I don't know if it's going to be a surprise, but I think that Utah aren't going to fall off as much as everyone thinks they are with losing Gordon Hayward. So they're probably my sort of surprise team in the West because I think they're still going to be there. And, you know, with a lot of the teams getting stronger and them going backwards, I think they got a pretty good foundation still to hang around. And in the East, I mean, anyone that makes it's going to be surprising. Because they're all rubbish. Like, they're all really bad. I don't know, man. I think Philly has the opportunity to maybe get close to the eighth spot and definitely have a decent jump if they can all stay healthy, which is going to be a big if. But I don't know. They're definitely going to be the team that I want to keep my eye on out of the Eastern teams. Besides, you know, the big three over there in Washington, Boston, and Cleveland.
Miller?
Yeah, I suppose I'll start off in the West. Surprise teams that might have got to make the playoffs. If we're looking at teams that didn't make it last year, it's not really a surprise, but, you know, with the likes of Boogie and AD playing together, you'd hopefully think that the Pelicans can maybe sort their shit out and the supporting cast can maybe somewhat do a role and they can maybe sneak into the eight.
You think Rondo will lift
Is there a supporting cast, though? Is there a supporting cast?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I said, somewhat. Of a, yeah. I don't know.
You lost the backup point guard. In what's his name?
My mate.
Yeah, your mate.
Fraser. Yeah. Washington. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, they've still got Drew Holiday. They've picked up Rondo. I don't know.
They've got the two best bigs in the league. So
yeah, they do.
You think they're going to do something?
It all depends on what the bench can do. I'm still Timberwolves. Maybe I'm still not 100% sold on them. I still think that they're sort of a little bit off, but in the East, Mo's gonna like this one. I think the Hornets maybe could possibly sneak into the eight. I think Dwight Howard didn't have a bad season last year with everything that was going on at Atlanta. I think he had a reasonable season. You know, he's not going to put up 20 and 10 every week, but if he can put up 12 and 10 or 12 and 12 or whatever, he's doing his job. And the Hornets sort of, they've got a bit of a spread, I suppose, in the roster. So, for me, they're one that could possibly sneak into the eight.
All right. with me, I've just got this weird feeling that Toronto are going to fall out in the East.
Yeah, I could kind of see that happening. If the East was a bit stronger, I could see it, but...
Yeah, don't tell me what it is in High Wayne, but I just something about them, I don't know. It seems like they haven't really done anything. Like all the teams that wanted to try and make up into that top area sort of made moves, whereas I don't really see Toronto doing much of anything.
I've never really been sold on Kyle Lowry. He's a good player, but I've never been sold on him as being that max contract top level guy. I've never been sold on it, and they've just given him a lot of money. And he probably doesn't need to do anything anymore because he got paid.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah, I have my doubts about them as well.
And in the West, really, I want to see what this point guard does for the Clippers.
Ted Osich.
Because I don't see, if they don't have a decent point guard or a decent ball distributor, I don't see... DeAndre and Griffin doing much of anything, to be honest with you.
Nah, he'll be good, man.
He'll be good, and if Blake's healthy, I mean, Blake can run that point forward pretty effectively. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see what they do. They've probably had one of the biggest sort of remodels, I guess, not a rebuild, but a remodel over the off season. You know, out of most teams.
Rookie of the year. Do you think the two rookies in Philly are going to cancel each other out?
Oh, to some extent, but
in saying that, though, it allows them to play a little bit more of an exciting style of basketball, which could have showcased, you know, their skills a bit more, because, you know, you're not going to have the structured sort of game that you would having a number of vets and sort of a team that's really competing. You know, these guys are going to have the freedom to you know, show what they can do. So it might almost work in their favour.
Mm. Right, well, what are your predictions? Who's making Rookie of the Year, boys? We'll go with Miller first.
I'm big on Jason Tatum. I think, especially now that Boston have... The roster's a lot different. I think originally before, obviously, they moved on Crowder and whatnot, he might have been lost in the bench a bit. But I think... With the roster they've got now, I think he'll get a bit more of a burn, and I'm a big fan of what he was doing during the summer league. He's a ready-made scorer. He's athletic. He's got the bigger body, so I think he's going to fit right into NBA basketball.
Okay. LJ, what do you reckon, mate?
I reckon... the PG Dallas picked up. Dennis Smith?
Yep.
Yeah.
I reckon he's going to have a shot because I just think his game is, you know, if not the most, but close to the most NBA ready. And the roster that he's got there, he's really going to, like, they haven't got much. So I think he's going to have plenty of freedom and stuff. And I think there's a lot of good rookies this year. They're going to be exciting. So you just don't know what's going to happen. But I think the way that his team's structured and the way that he plays is going to lend itself to him putting up some pretty impressive numbers.
All right. I don't know. The start of the year, I really liked Darren Fox, so I'm going to stick with him. See how he goes with Sacramento. But, of course, it's Sacramento, so fuck knows.
another smoky, we could probably say here and have backup plans tonight, but for me, I'll sort of split as well between Donovan Mitchell as well at Utah.
Even Philly, Josh Jackson. I'm not Philly, Phoenix. It was a foot sound. That's what got me. All right, boys. Tell me your Eastern Western Conference championship games. Who's going to make it?
Cleveland and Dubs.
No, I'm like in the championship game, the two teams on each side.
Oh, who's there?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let Miller go.
Oh, East, I'm going to go Boston-Cleveland. In the West, probably Dubs Rockets, I guess.
LJ, what do you reckon, mate? You putting your boys in there?
Yeah. So, same as what Miller said, except I reckon Oklahoma have got... I honestly think they got the leg up over Houston at the moment. So, I'll go Oklahoma and Dubs and Boston and Cleveland.
Yeah.
One thing about the trades, though, that's upset me is that, like, I was so waiting to see the Celtics and Wizards go at it again in the finals, but I just think with the Boston team changing so much, it kind of has taken the ass out of that rivalry for me. Same team, but it's not the same team, you know?
Oh, the personnel is different. The guys that were having the beef aren't even there anymore.
That's what I mean. And I was really ready for that. And I was, you know, hoping that if there was a, you know, because Cleveland do seem like they haven't for the last few weeks, I guess, but before that, they did seem like they were on the brink of imploding. So if that happened and we got conference finals, you know, Boston v. Wizards, that would have been great. But now the teams are completely different, so.
Big call. We'll just do the two in one. NBA champ and MVP. LJ.
Got to go Dubs. And for MVP, I'm thinking maybe Kawhi gets it this year. I think he'll step up, and he doesn't necessarily have the talent around him that some of the other teams have to take those stats away. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Kawhi.
All right, Miller.
All right, for me, surprise, surprise, Dubs, and I'm going to go KD. I'm going to go KD as well because before he went down with his knee injury, he was up there, and, you know, obviously Russ was doing what Russ was doing, but he was up there, you know, in the mix for MVP, and I think, you know, year two, those boys are going to gel a lot better, and we could, you know, KD had career numbers last year, and we could see him get even better. So, yeah, I'm going to say KD for MVP.
All right. It's pretty much those two. I don't know. Look, I don't think Russ is going to score as many points as he scored last year just because of the personnel he's got around him, but he'd have to be a close to favourite for the MVP for this year if he keeps up that same, that triple-double sort of same form. That being said, I think you can't, until you've seen an OKC play or even a Boston play, you've got to go with the Warriors. You've got to go with the Warriors to win the championship. Just because now they've had, what, two seasons together as well. So, yeah, that's why I'm going that way. Where should we go from here, mate?
Well, I just thought, yeah. with Miller, you know, go on the Dubs KD double, you know, and speaking of one-eyed things, Akil Mitchell from the New Zealand Breakers.
Oh, wow. You've really pushed that segue.
Picked up by Brooklyn. So he's the second guy from the NBL last year that's in the NBA this year, which is always good for the NBA as well, with Torrey Craig signing the two-way deal with Denver. So, yeah, I just thought we'd point on that quickly with the NBL as well. So quick, you know, so close to starting that. Two guys that were sort of, I mean, more of the role player types, but played big, you know, roles for the teams, and now in the big league. So that's pretty good for the NBL.
All right. Well, I have a big baller and a no baller, so I don't know if you guys have even tried to think about it. So I won't ask you.
No, I haven't.
No baller. Got to be KD for the old Twitter.
I think that's the most obvious one, isn't it?
We can't let him get away like without even talking about it a little bit. I mean, dude. For those of you
who special kind of person.
It really is, isn't it?
To make a burner account to talk about themselves, like.
But he's also he's got Instagram burner accounts as well.
Oh, and apparently YouTube.
Oh, really? So what does he do all day? What does he do all day? Just hang out and look at people talking shit about him and answer them back.
It seems so.
This off season. We've all seen a different side to KD. I don't know what it is. I don't know if I was having this chat with LJ the other night, but he's, you know, he spent the off season just embraced sort of, you know, he bought out those shoes that sort of addressed the haters on the soles, and then he spends his time clapping back at people who are hitting him up on Twitter, and then burner accounts where he's, you know, pretending that he's somebody else, referencing himself in third person.
I tell you what, though,
I don't know who this kid is.
He must have been especially angry at that dude because he didn't even think about, like, he was trying to answer him so quickly, he didn't even try to change his account.
Yeah, as someone that has five Twitter accounts on my phone, they're not, just to be clear, they're not burner accounts. I don't they're defending.
Sure, they're not, mate. Stuff. Sure, they're not.
Because even if I did, no one would believe that someone would actually want to stick up for me.
Yeah.
That's true.
Look, what he did was fucking dumb. But in terms of accidentally, you know, not doing it from your burner account, it can happen. But
he's MVP, a finals MVP, an NBA champion, makes $25 million a year, and he has to have a fake account to back himself up on Twitter. I don't understand what kind of fragile mind state a man must have for that. I don't get it.
Either that, or he's made like burner ones just so he can slide into someone's DMs.
Yeah, but he hasn't.
Yeah.
If he got caught talking to some chick from his account instead of the burner account, you'd say, okay, you're an idiot. But yeah. this is a special kind of idiot.
All right, and my big baller, got to be Sam Presti. Talk about turning fucking...
Trust in Presti.
Jesus Christ. Just turning... Like, they were a good side last year. They really were. But to retool him the way he has is just... You've got to be impressed by that. I mean, especially to get Carmelo for what they got him for. They didn't give up any draft picks. They gave up two average to good players and got back a fairly... Well, you just don't know, do you? You don't know... What Carmelo in New York, I don't think was very happy. So you just don't know what you're going to get this year if he's actually happy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they basically turned, Presti turned Serge Ibaka and Enes Kanter into Paul George and Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah. Well, and Oladipo, remember, as well.
Basically.
Yeah.
Depot came in the Serge trade.
Oh, he did too. Yes.
Yeah, so Serge got traded for Sabonis. Yeah, that's what I mean. mean? So, and then Kanta, like, and Dougie McBuckets came over in that trade as well. So,
I was actually talking about it in, with my mate at work, and I was just like, if we were playing fantasy basketball, and I fucking sent you a trade for McBuckets and fucking and Kanta for Carmelo, what would you say? Because I'd tell you to fuck off. I said, exactly. I don't know why New York didn't.
So if that happened in a competition, no one would trade anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well. Well, they trade. They just get vetoed.
No, let's not start on that.
Well, on that note, boys, I reckon we'll wrap it up for this edition.
I got a quick late no-baller.
Oh, okay.
Minnesota for those fucking lime green jerseys. They are disgraceful.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, but you know what? I can see a lot of like young, you know,
fuckwits wearing them.
Yeah, young sort of hipster type dudes wearing them. Oh, I don't know.
You know, it's for when you've got traffic control at 3, but you've got to play a game of ball at 7.
I was going to say, you can wear them at work because they're probably high vis.
Probably. They fucking 100% are high vis.
That's definitely a Nike thing. Like, Nike are big on that sort of vault green and stuff at the moment. Like, that's definitely a Nike-inspired design, I would say.
Could you imagine if OKC still had their orange top like jerseys and you had lime green versus that orange?
Oh, that'd be horrible.
But it looks like a packet of Skittles.
I'm very, not that I'm biased, but the new Oklahoma, it's just because of what I've had to compare it to, but those new black Oklahoma jerseys are beautiful.
They are great.
With the OKC on the
front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually,
I'm a big fan of a lot of them. Well, since we've brought it up, you know, we're an hour and six, hour 16 of the podcast. What are the thoughts so far? And obviously, you know, the two main jerseys we saw released earlier on, but the statement pieces that we've seen coming out at the moment, are you a fan of what we've seen so far?
Look, as a Laker fan, I'm fucking bored.
Yeah.
Like, change that's it the up. Problem, fucking change like, it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I suppose
some things like Lakers, Boston, you got Bulls. It is what it is. You got to, yeah, Bulls. That's what it is, you know. But you can have.
It amazes.
You have your icon and your association or whatever is the same. But I guess, you know, with that third alternate one, you can do something with it, I guess.
Yeah, it amazes me that Lakers jersey sales are still so strong because it's been the same jersey for fucking 50, 60 years. Fuck.
Oh, do you know what I mean? People's someone's Kobe jersey gets a rip in it. Let's go buy a Kobe jersey.
Yeah, well, you got two numbers, so it's also good there too. But yeah, but you know what I mean? Change it up slightly, fuck.
Yeah.
With those statement jerseys, I think that they've for me, they're either really good or really bad. But at the same time, there's some that, like, I don't really like the Portland one, and there's a couple other ones I don't like. And then I was talking to someone the other day, and they really like the Portland one and stuff. So I think, you know, everyone's going to have their own take on which ones they like and which ones they don't. But just from a whole, I think the way that they've done having the sponsors on there,
yeah,
I reckon some of the jerseys, like, it adds to the jerseys. They look good. So I think they've done that really well. And just, I don't know, there's something about having the swoosh back on the jerseys and just little changes they've made, they look a million bucks, I reckon.
Yeah, but like I said, when I saw the Lakers one, I went, oh, wow, a white jersey. That is different and something we have not had before. You know what I mean?
It's there's still here. There's still one more release to come. So maybe you might see something different from them. I don't know how many colors.
It could be worse. You could have a Spurs style camo jersey. So
that's true. You watch. I'll call it now. Lakers will have that Hollywood Knights one as the fourth one. That black jersey.
Yeah, they should. Their black jerseys are the best ones.
Yeah, they are. They really are. So is that it now? Are we done now?
We should be.
Yes.
All right then. Well, give out your Twitter handles, boys.
At
which one? I've got five.
Where, OKC. Yeah. Yeah.
Miller.
Miltrain.
Mine is at Beast Eastman. The show is at
at B-Ballers Podcast, and you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram as well. Probably been a bit slack lately because, to be honest, I don't know, there hasn't really much going on, I guess, until Carmelo Anthony got traded. But, yeah, follow the pages. We try and keep you up to date with everything that's happening with the season not too far away. I think preseason starts on Sunday, so we'll try and bring everything to you as you can.
Yeah, and if you do follow us on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and review. Helps us get out there so more people can hear the show and witness the same pain that you are right now. Until next time, Todd Eastman for Josh Miller and Dave Ware at OKC, whatever that is.
Yep.
We'll see you mid-season. The way it's going.
Go, Crows.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Right here on the Big Ballers Podcast. And we are out.
Go, Crows again.
Jesus Christ. Whenever Superman is in the